Live from the historic parsonage of 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio platform on which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs 27, verse 17 tells us, "Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Matthew Henry said that in this passage, quote, "We are cautioned to take heed whom we converse with, and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better." It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next hour, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. Now here's our host, Chris Arntzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arntzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 22nd day of March, 2018. I'm so delighted to have back in the studio after nearly a year my dear friend Stephen Atkinson, who is the North American director of A Christian Witness to Israel. And it's my honor and privilege to have you back here right next to me, Brother Stephen.
Thank you, Chris. It's so good to be here today and just to visit with you again. So glad to get caught up.
Amen. And it's so much better than doing this over the phone.
Yes, indeed.
And not only is the sound quality better when you're sitting here, but it's also a much nicer time of fellowship. And I'm looking very much to get together with you and my new associate pastor at Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Simon O'Manny, who is from the Republic of Ireland. I know that you are from Northern Ireland. You are an Ulsterman.
And well, we promised not to fight.
You took the words out of my mouth. We'll take away all the sharp eating implements away from, from both of you. But you're both Protestant, though, anyway. So. But I want to give right away our email address here. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarntzen@gmail.com. chrisarntzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state and your country of residence, if indeed you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarntzen@gmail.com. chrisarntzen@gmail.com. And you have already given your testimony, but it was quite a while ago when you gave your personal testimony of how you came to saving faith in Christ. But since we are now on First Love Radio, a new Reformed network, there are a lot of people, I'm sure, not only because of that, but we seem to be getting new listeners joining the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience nearly every day. In fact, we may be getting them every day, and I'm just not hearing about it every day, but I am hearing reports from people all over the world nearly every day. And so there are a lot of people who are, I'm sure, unfamiliar with you. Why don't you give, Stephen, before we go into what Christian Witness to Israel is and so on, let's hear something about your own story growing up in Northern Ireland.
Well, I grew up in Bangor, Northern Ireland, in a church-going family. I went to church probably about four times a week, if not five times a week, to various events. I sang in the church choir from age six. I played badminton. I went to a uniformed organization, and I was at church. Really, it was my social life.
Did you say badminton?
I did.
Okay, but you pronounced it differently.
Badminton. That was my sport.
You're talking about the thing with the birdies. It's like a table tennis kind of a thing, almost.
Yeah, but don't criticize us, because that's an extreme sport, brother. You've got to realize that was my most athletic. Those were my most athletic days.
Actually, it wouldn't be table tennis. It'd be more like volleyball, but with a birdie.
It's badminton. don't. Yeah, I think we'll pass over this subject. But I was pretty good at it. I was pretty good. Okay, right. So I all that to say, I grew up within the church, but I was not converted. I was just a child of the church, and in some ways, in the wisdom and care of my parents, I was protected under the orbit of church life. But when I was about 16, we had a very evangelical youth group in the church. And it was at that time that there were quite a number of serious discussions between myself and several others, and particularly our intern assistant pastor. And at that point, I came to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I confessed him as my Lord and Savior. And I was young. What did I know at that point? But in the Lord's grace and providence, he preserved me and guided me to further reading and further study and further equipping for the ministry to which he would ultimately call me. And so I'm thankful for my parents' guidance and protection in that, though they would indeed say themselves, both of them have passed, but they would have said that they did not come to faith themselves until after I became a preacher. And all these things are in the perfect providence of God, and I'm very grateful growing up in Northern Ireland, which is really Bible Belt Europe. It's a very strong evangelical community in the north of Ireland. So I'm looking forward to seeing my brother from the south of Ireland, and I could put on a Dublin accent if he really wanted me to, and then we can really talk proper together. But no, I'm from the north. Now my accent's all over the place now anyway, because I've spent too many years in America, and so I need to hone that accent back to the Scots-Irish accent.
Yes. Ulster.
The Ulster Scots, yes.
Well, now you could tell our listeners about Christian Witness to Israel, also known as CWI, and of course, your North American division of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the earlier part of the story, I went into the ministry very early in life, and again, had a lot to learn, but the Lord's call was very clear on my life. And I entered the Presbyterian ministry, and then later the Evangelical Presbyterian ministry, ministered in Cambridge in England, as well as in various parts of Northern Ireland. But after about 18 years of regular pastoral ministry, I got a phone call out of the blue asking me to consider becoming the deputation secretary for Ireland for Christian Witness to Israel. And so this was a whole change of ministry. Although I had read Puritan Hope in my seminary days, I had a theological...
That's the book on by Ian Murray.
That's correct.
Which,
yeah.
It's interesting that a lot of, in fact, nearly all postmillennialists claim that almost as their handbook, and yet Ian Murray is an amillennialist.
Yeah, well, as with all of us, I'm not sure that all of us have a completely defined position, whether it's amill with optimistic leanings, amill with postmill leanings, and some unanswered premill questions. We all tend to be in there in the mix, and I think sometimes we categorize people somewhat too easily, and where the whole thing is a little bit more complicated. So in my own position, I would place myself in the optimistic amill, but I do have those longings, those that Puritan hope, and very much ally myself with, and we'll come on to that maybe later in the show, but our forefathers and our those theological giants that we know and love, many of them had a strong aspiration and a strong hopefulness regarding the Jewish people and their salvation. So I came into that very very much green. I really didn't know very much about it, but I was I wanted to learn, and I had the theological longing, and now I wanted to see in practice what was actually happening on the ground with regard to reaching our Jewish neighbors with the gospel of Jesus. And it just has thrilled me. I've been 14 years now with Christian Witness to Israel on both sides of the pond, and I just day by day go increasingly a greater passion and enthusiasm for the ministry of reaching our Jewish neighbors for Christ.
Now, I know that this will dumbfound many involved in messianic ministry across the globe. But Christian Witness to Israel is a decidedly and specifically a theologically reformed mission to the Jews.
Yeah.
And people think that's oxymoronic. They think, what are you talking about? Calvinists and reformed people don't care at all about the Jews. And sometimes that might be true, but that's not universally true, obviously. And the Christian Witness for Israel also, you mentioned that you are an optimistic amillennialist. They do not hold to any specific eschatological position,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, we don't accept that we hold to a reform position. So our staff all would sign to one of the reformed confessions, but we don't take a specific eschatological position, because our bottom line is we want to see Jewish people saved, and that again is the biblical position.
That's and biblical none of the reformed confessions hold to a specific eschatology.
No, and I'm PCA, the Westminster Confession doesn't hold to a specific eschatological position, but it does have the aspiration, and it does have a very specific longing for Jewish people to hear the gospel and to come to the Lord. And I think that's what I want us to return to. My beef, if we can call it that, with dispensationalism is largely the fruit of particularly radical dispensationalism, where the fruit of that leads into all kinds of distractions pertaining to gospel mission to the Jewish people. So we get more interested in land issues than in the Lord, or we get more interested in a rapture than the Redeemer, or we get more interested in knowing the specific secret or the timeline, or we get distracted on a ton of different areas. And the bottom line is Jewish people do not hear the gospel. You know, if we're selling books and reading books on the latest insight into the end times, what has that got to do with Romans 10:1? What has that got to do with the biblical mandate of longing for and praying for and intentionally seeking the salvation of the Jewish people? And therefore, you know, my burden, my reformed burden, and corporately CWI's reformed burden, is simply a biblical burden to reach the Jewish people with the gospel. And I have friends in dispensationalist circles. I preach even in some dispensationalist churches. My burden for them is that they will not get distracted by some of the silly stuff that is out there, but rather focus on the gospel, because the bottom line is the bottom line, and that is that the Jewish people will come to meet their Maker one day, and have we told them about Jesus?
Yes, and Reformed people are not completely exonerated from guilt when it comes to hobby horsing on certain issues that eclipse the gospel. You even have Reformed Christians and ministries that so focus on their own understanding of eschatology, whether it be postmillennialism or amillennialism, that they rarely discuss anything else. So it's not just the dispensational folks that that are guilty of that.
Well, we're good at discussing, and discussing often lets us off the hook, or at least seems to let us off the hook with regard to doing. You know, and here we are here discussing Jewish evangelism, and it's comfortable. We're sitting, you know, comfortably in a studio talking about these issues that are scriptural, that are dear to our hearts, but meanwhile, there are Jewish people out there and they're not hearing the gospel. And so it is not enough for us just simply to discuss or to hold conferences or write books or read books. We need to be intentionally evangelistic. Just a couple of days ago, I was in a certain Jewish area of a certain city that will be nameless. And I was there because I wanted to see Jewish life. I wanted to see Jewish people up close and personal. And I was with another brother, and we were just looking at possibilities for actually engaging the Jewish community in this particular location. So my desire is not simply for us just to talk about it or to talk about it theologically, but actually to get, and specifically get the church motivated and mobilized to do Jewish mission on our doorstep here in the U.S.
And if you could get into more of the actual history an outworking of CWI. And in fact, just another thing that may very much surprise many of our listeners is that Chosen People Ministries was founded through the evangelistic efforts of Calvinist Presbyterians in the 19th century in Brooklyn and New York City. And even the current executive director is, although I believe he may have dispensationalist leanings, he is a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist. So it is interesting that these things destroy, thankfully, destroy stereotypes.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we've got to be careful with the stereotypes and with the categorizing, because sometimes it's not as clear-cut as that.
Right. Mitch Glazer is who I was speaking of, who's the current executive director of Chosen People.
Yeah, we have a good relationship with Mitch, and we've actually done certain things together with Chosen People Ministries. And we have a good relationship with Jews for Jesus and several other Jewish missions. I'll be going in April to the Lausanne Consultation on Jewish Evangelism, which is kind of a gathering and a conference of probably 50 or 60 different Jewish missions.
Did Francis Schaeffer have something to do with establishing that, or no? I don't know why I'm thinking that.
Well, it came out of the Lausanne movement.
Okay.
And so we're the kind of the Jewish arm of the Lausanne movement. And pretty active both worldwide and locally here in the U.S. And I go to that conference very much as a learner. I'm, you know, we have different theologies within that conference, but every one of us that is there is desirous of evangelism. It's the Lausanne Consultation on Jewish Evangelism. And so I'm with my brothers and sisters that are there because they want Jewish people to hear the gospel. And that I think is where we need to be together. There are things that we will have different views on, but where we can be together, we ought to work together. And that is particularly with regard to Jewish people hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
And as far as the origins of CWI and also the specific things that CWI, both in the UK and here in North America, tell us more about that.
Well, again, I've rehearsed some of these things before with you, but as you rightly say, there are folks maybe listening in for the first time. But CWI began 175 years ago, really out of the burden of the Scottish Presbyterians. And
even Charles Haddon Spurgeon, didn't he have something to do with it?
Spurgeon preached for us on four occasions, at least on four occasions, did the annual sermon for our ministry. And while my understanding is that Spurgeon didn't take any particular eschatological position, or at least that's what
I've heard, historic pre-mill.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best category to put him in. But he wasn't hard line on some of those things. His desire, as you can see from his sermons, his desire was to win souls. His desire was to see souls coming to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Jewish Mission, yeah, we have a sermon both online and in print that Spurgeon preached for us from Ezekiel 37 on the dry bones. And he very much spoke to that point that that we are to preach to the dry bones of the house of Israel. We are to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. And we are to pray for the wind of God to blow. So in a sense, that's, you know, even through this ministry, through your ministry, Chris, if I can ask people to be praying for the wind of God to come upon the preaching of the word and the preaching and our witness, our missionaries and their street witness to Jewish people, as we preach to the bones and pray for the wind, as you know, Spurgeon took that application that that Jewish people will come to life. They will come to that new life in Christ.
And specifically, what does CWI do to bring the gospel to the Jewish people? I know that you travel and you preach at different locations, but what else can you tell us about the work of CWI?
We have missionaries in various locations around the world. You've asked me now about four questions, and I need to hold them all in my head because we need to get back to them. We need to get our biblical mandate. We need to look at where CWI began, and we need to look at what we're doing practically. But if we'll probably come round the circle a little bit. But if I can simply say, yes, we have missionaries where Jewish people are. And my longing, I've been a preacher for over 30 years, and my ministry has really a ministry to goad the church to be the church and to be Christian witness to Israel wherever the Jewish people are. And so my passion is to raise up missionaries, and I've talking already with some potential missionary candidates for the U.S., but also if I can go to a church and make 100 missionaries from the congregation, if I can make the people in our churches aware and then intentional in reaching their Jewish neighbors. I get phone calls, I get emails from folks, I've got this Jewish friend, how do I reach her with the gospel? I've got this Jewish doctor, I want to share the gospel with him, how do I do that? I will do conferences and weekends in stirring the church. And I think, you know, maybe I can bring this right back round to our beginnings in CWI, because the ministry began out of a Scottish Presbyterian burden, where many were preaching on the whole subject of Israel, particularly from Romans 9 through 11 and those passages that had the aspiration, the hopefulness. And many of our Scottish forefathers were preaching this and praying for the grafting in again of the natural branches. And it was out of that that the Church of Scotland began missions to the Jews, and also desired an interdenominational mission to begin, which was the beginnings of our mission in November 1842. So my point is that theology drives missiology. If we get the theology wrong, we might get skewed in the way in which we engage in mission. And I feel we are here, I think I've spoken on this somewhat before, but we are here in the most pro-Israel country on the planet. But we are skewed in our mission to the Jewish people. We want to buy a tree for Israel. We want to stare at blood moons. We want to find the red heifer, when our mission should be to bring the gospel to the Jewish people. And it was that burden that was preached all over Scotland in the 1830s that birthed then the mission that we have. And my sense of calling here is to do just that, is to birth again a burden for Jewish mission in these shores, because 42% of the world's Jewish population, 42% of Israel, lives in the United States. And it's my desire to reach that 42%. And we can get missionaries to do that. We can put our missionaries on the streets. But if I can get the church mobilized to do that, well, you know, that's the missionary work multiplied hundredfold, thousandfold.
And we are here today actually to specifically talk about Jewish mission, the biblical mandate, the historic hopefulness, and the providential provision. Are you sure you're not a Baptist?
I'm from Northern Ireland. Anybody that knows from Northern Ireland, we have to alliterate our headings.
That's a Baptist thing here.
Yeah, well, it's a good practice. It's a good practice. We need to have those fence posts on which to place our points. And that's
well,
good.
They are good slogans here to speak about. Well, why don't you explain, first of all, what Jewish mission is? That may sound like a simplistic question, but people will have different answers to that question. And today, as you know, there are many people within Christianity who are more concerned about the feelings of their Jewish friends, neighbors, and colleagues at work than they are about their eternal souls.
Yeah.
And they may never go beyond telling their Jewish friends that they support the nation of Israel or something like that. And they don't want to scare them away or hurt them. But tell us about what we need to be telling the Jews.
Well, I admire, as I come over here, I've lived over here over 5 years, coming 6 years. I admire the very strong pro-life movement that there is in the U.S. We have, again, similarly strong movement in the U.K. But you guys even to some degree seem, this is maybe too optimistic, but almost to be winning the argument. It seems that the Roe v. Wade is still a very live issue. We haven't lost the battle. We're still battling in that. So your sense of the value of the unborn is wonderful to see. And as the grandfather of six soon to be seven grandchildren.
Wow.
We value the unborn. But I want to just put that a little further. Do we value the born? In other words, do we value everyone, their soul, their eternal destiny? And therefore, it is not blessing Israel not to tell them about Jesus. It is not blessing Israel to just simply say, oh, we love you and we love the land, we stand with Israel, blah, 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 but we won't tell you about Jesus. That is the greatest tragedy of the pro-Israel mindset that I find in the U.S. And, we've already shared this in times past, but I have right in front of me a magazine from the largest pro-Israel organization in the U.S. with over 2 million members.
John Hagee's ministry?
That's the magazine. And that magazine I've read from cover to cover. Sometimes it's good to read those we disagree with so that we can actually disagree with them intelligently. Well, I've read the magazine cover to cover, and it never mentions Jesus once.
Wow.
Now,
how about Yeshua? Is that word in there at least?
It's not. Oh, no.
Wow.
You see, what happens is the land takes precedence over the Lord. That's heresy.
And in fact, John Hagee doesn't even believe Jews need to embrace Christ as their Lord, God, and Savior and trust in his sacrifice.
He has gone in print and said those things very clearly. And that's, again, how can we love Israel? How in the world of a so-called Christian mission can we desire the blessing of Israel and not tell them about Jesus? The greatest blessing that has come upon your life, Chris, is Jesus Christ. The greatest blessing that has come on my life, we began with my testimony, the greatest blessing is the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we bless Israel and miss that? How can we have a magazine of 32 glossy pages and never mention his name? He is the he who shall not be named. And that is it's not only a tragedy, it's diabolical. It's from the pit of hell if we will not tell our Jewish neighbors the most important thing in the world, and that is Jesus. And in actual fact, and maybe if I can flip this around to even the biblical mandate, we've got to recognize that our Jewish neighbors had concerns for us 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Where's the mandate for Jewish mission? Well, I would like us to start in the Old Testament scriptures, or in what our Jewish friends call the Hebrew scriptures.
They were supposed to be a light to the nations.
They were a light to the nations. Now, I repeatedly, wherever I speak, I often drive us to Psalm 67. Because in Psalm 67, there are key verses with regard to the Jewish people having a concern for the nations. So let me read just a couple of verses from Psalm 67, and we can jump off into mission from that. But Psalm 67, think of the context of it. Think of a little prayer meeting in Jerusalem 3,000 years ago. Remnant Israel is praying these words: God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. And the word salvation has in its Hebrew root Yeshua within it. And so basically this little prayer meeting 3,000 years ago is saying, please God bless us so that the nations of the world will know your way and your salvation, and his name is Jesus. It's not Amen. As explicit as that. But they were praying for us. And I can't remember when I was with you last year in April that whether I told this story, but it's worth repeating again. I had an interaction with a rabbi online, and this rabbi was a conference that I was taking part in, and the rabbi was waxing eloquent as to how Christians should stand with Israel and what we should do, how we should visit the land, and how we should just stand with Israel economically and militarily, and it's your ally in the Middle East. And the point that he was making was, but you must leave us alone. That was his point, but leave us alone. And obviously with regard to the gospel, leave us alone. And I I couldn't stand it any longer, and I posed a question. And my question was this: in the light of Psalm 67, I said to the rabbi, and we read Psalm 67 to the rabbi, in the light of Psalm 67, your ancestors were praying for my Scots-Irish ancestors and praying that we would come to know the God of Israel and his salvation.
Yeah, your ancestors were dancing around a fire wearing bear skins and...
Well, we'll not say what they were wearing, because, you know, think Braveheart and some other things, and that could really spoil this show. but they prayed that we would come to know the God of Israel and his salvation. And we are sitting here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, as a result of that prayer. And I simply said to the rabbi, you know, here's my question. Why did you not leave us alone? Psalm 67 did not leave us alone. They were praying to God to reveal himself to this darkened world. And you're absolutely right. Your ancestors, my ancestors, were dancing around stone.
My ancestors were Vikings, at least on my father's side.
There you go. Yeah. Totally in darkness, but in the grace and providence of God, the light came from Israel, and specifically from the Lamb of God, from Jesus, the light to all the nations, the light of the world. But he did not leave us alone. Israel did not leave us alone. This book is Jewish. The man is Jewish. The message is Jewish. The missionaries were Jewish. They did not leave us alone. So I said to the rabbi, I said, why did you not leave us alone? But thank God you did not leave us alone. And, you know, the story continues later on that evening, and things were, the conference was doing some stuff that I wasn't greatly in favor of. But at the end of the evening, maybe I was just getting a little tired, but in the panel discussion, I said, you know, I really wanted, with Mr. Rabbi, I wanted to put on a Liam Neeson accent and say, I will find you. And I will tell you about Jesus. And I think that really is the imperative that drives me and should drive the church, because they did not leave us alone. They came for us with the truth, with the message of the living and true God. Thank God they did not leave us alone. So please, God, may we not leave the Jewish people alone.
Amen. I have certain skills. They are homiletic, hermeneutic, and exegetical. But we are going to our first break right now, and if anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back right after these messages with more of Stephen Atkinson of Christian Witness to Israel.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981. Or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget about the phenomenal offer that Solid Ground Christian Books is having right now until, I believe it's March 31st. This is a pre-publication sale of the 22-volume set containing the complete works of Thomas Manton. Now, what makes this sale remarkable is that not only is this 22-volume hardback set retailing for $1,000, but you can get it at the pre-publication sale price for less than $300, $299.95, if you get involved and take advantage of the pre-publication sale. Just go to solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com and type in Manton, M-A-N-T-O-N, in the search engine, and you will have all the information that you need about this 22-volume hardback set. Perhaps this individual who's my guest today from the UK, is it Smithsone or Smythsone? Do you know? It's a binding process that's supposed to be, Stephen doesn't know. Well, it's supposed to be of the highest quality binding, and it's called either Smithsone or Smythsone, S-M-Y-T-H-E. Charles Haddon Spurgeon called the complete works of Thomas Manton a mountain of sound theology. So remember, if you get involved in the pre-publication sale, it will be less than $300 for this 22-volume hardback set. And if you take advantage of the pre-publication sale, you are not going to be charged on your credit card or your debit card until the books go into print. So you don't have to worry about that. The other thing is that we need, or they need, at Solid Ground Christian Books, they need enough purchases or pre-publication purchases in order for the books to go into print. So you really have nothing to lose because, as I said, they're not going to charge your debit or credit card. Go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Type in the word Manton, M as in Michael, A-N-T-O-N, in the search engine, and this will come up. It's about the third or fourth item listed under Thomas Manton. They have other things in print already by Thomas Manton, but this is a pre-publication sale. Please tell Mike Gadosh and the folks at solid-ground-books.com that you heard about this offer from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Now we are back with our guest, Stephen Atkinson, and we are discussing Jewish mission, the biblical mandate, the historic hopefulness, and the providential provision. Stephen Atkinson is the North American Director of Christian Witness to Israel, which is also known very often as CWI. And if you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Well, let us now continue where we left off on the biblical mandate, Stephen.
Well, I think, again, we need to, whatever we do in our Christian lives, whatever we do in our church lives, whatever we do missiologically, it must have a biblical mandate. And again, what concerns me in the confusing scene is that we are blessing Israel in a ton of different ways, but I don't see it in the scriptures. You know, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they'll all get back to the land and build the temple and find the red heifer and start the sacrifice. Sorry, I didn't read that in Romans 10. Where did that one come from? So we need to get back to the scriptures with regard to Jewish mission.
I was actually at a conference once where a dispensational archaeologist was raising money because if we find the necessary tools that are required for sacrificing the red heifers and so on, we will hasten the return of Christ. So in other words, Jesus was waiting in heaven for these guys to finish their archaeological work and so on.
I've been hearing that for the 14, 15 years I've been involved in. I've been hearing, they're really near. They're really near. They're just, yeah. To me, I have little interest in that.
And why would a Christian want sacrificial systems to return?
Because I thought Jesus said it is finished.
Amen.
Yeah. So I want the church to, again, reassess scripturally what is our mission to the Jewish people. They did not leave us alone. And, you know, the first century Jewish believers realized that we need to take this to the world. And so the apostle, the Jewish apostle Paul, went to every synagogue he could find and every Gentile square that he could find to tell people about Jesus. But we want to notice also that he did not leave his own people alone. He did not leave his Jewish people alone. And particularly climactically in the passages of Romans 9 through 11, we read of his burden for his own people, his burden for the Jewish people. Well, was it just a burden for his own people in the same way as I could have a burden for my Ulster Scots or a burden for my American cousins? No, I think he had a greater theological burden for Jewish people because theirs is the adoption, theirs are the covenants, theirs the glory, and from them is the Christ according to the flesh who is over all. There was something specifically blessed about this ethnic people, this people that later in Romans 11 are called the natural branches, that Paul urgently wanted to bring the message of the gospel to his Jewish friends. And I think, again, at the end of Romans 8, which is a wonderful passage that speaks of the no condemnation and no separation, Paul is really burdened because, but Lord, my people have been separate. My people are under condemnation. No, your people are under condemnation. And so the Holy Spirit will move Paul's pen across the page to give the answer to his deep questions and draw him into prayer and longing for the Jewish people to be grafted in again. And any Gentile who has, by the grace of God, been stuck on as an unnatural branch, we too should have this biblical mandate that we do not leave them alone, but rather have the longing and prayer, great sorrow in our hearts, that Jewish people, in fact, that Jewish people today are an unreached people group. You hear a lot in missiological terms today about the unreached people groups. Well, here's the announcement. Jewish people are unreached. They have about 1.5% of Jewish people are believers in Jesus. And that categorizes them, according to the Joshua Project, as an unreached people group. And I think it's absolutely shameful that after 19 centuries of largely Gentile church, that the Jewish people are unreached. Again, may it not be so.
Well, would you like me to take a listener question before we go to the second point that you wanted to make in regard to the historic hopefulness?
Yeah.
Okay, we have, let's see here, we have Bibi in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says that if the walls of separation have been broken down between Jew and Gentile, why does there need to be a specific effort to reach the Jews in any way that would be different than reaching anybody else on the planet that does not know Christ? And she says, I am not saying this because I disagree with you. I am looking for further equipment to respond to others who ask that question.
Absolutely. This is a regular point, and it's an important point. There is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free. All are one in Christ Jesus. Having said that, the last time I looked at my wife, she was still female. So, you know, there is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek, is in the sense of status. We are one in Christ. Wonderfully, we stuck on unnatural branches are one with Jewish believers. We don't have a second-class status. They don't have a second-class status. And nor does my wife and I. We are one in Christ Jesus. But to answer further the question, is all mission important? Yes, indeed, all mission is important. But we find in Romans 11 two specific kinds of missions, and that we have the unnatural branches and the natural branches. And the Word of God delineates those who are ethnic Jewish people from the Goyim, from the Gentiles. And the Word of God in the New Testament delineates those two. So therefore, I must bow my wisdom to the Word of God, even as it sets forth those two categories. And I think this is really where, you know, our reformers saw that, as opposed to in the, and this maybe can lead us a little into the historic aspect of things. You know, for 1,500 years, there was an increased Gentilization of the church, and even an increased anti-Semitism within the church visible. And it really took the Reformation again for the desire to come back to reassess some of these passages. And it was, well, Luther, we know, said some horrendous things. And it really was in the Westminster Divines particularly that we see evidence of deep longings, Puritan hope, the aspirations for the Jewish people to be called. And so I say to my Presbyterian brethren who love their catechisms, I say, well, read the larger catechism, question 191. If you want to remember it, it's not 911, it's 191. And read that and what they say about Jewish mission. And the Westminster Divines of the 1600s were longing for the Jews to be called, and they specified that. So, you know, to answer your listener's question, yes, it is important that we have mission to all, but the scriptures delineate two specific persons, the natural branch, the unnatural branch, and our forefathers specifically prayed that the Jews would be called in the wonderful redemptive plan of God in saving Jew and Gentile by the one method, obviously, by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you, Bibi. Keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about it in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, and beyond. Well, let's now move on to the historic hopefulness in regard to Jewish mission.
Well, indeed, it was that, you know, the 1600s, the 1700s, the 1800s. I think as I began our talk, in the 1830s, there was a growing burden among our Scots Presbyterians that developed into the mission that that I'm now engaged in. And it, you know, if we look at the Puritans and others, they very much had this hopefulness, this longing. One of the things that deeply concerns me is that sometimes in, you know, you identified me, and I sometimes don't like just being stereotyped, but you identified me as an optimistic Amil. I probably identified myself as an optimistic.
Yeah, in fact, you did.
Okay. Yeah, but I went on to say that, yeah, but I've got unanswered pre-mill questions and a certain post-mill leaning as well. So I'm in the mix there. But what saddens me most of all is if we don't have the optimism. I think we have a gospel that turns a world upside down. That hasn't changed. We have a glorious Savior, and we have a message to tell to Jew and to Gentile. And please don't, church, retreat into Reformed monasteries to discuss supralapsarianism, but don't retreat to have little conferences.
Taking away the one true joy of my life is arguing over supralapsarianism.
There you go. Yeah, I'm challenging you, my brother. I just think that sometimes we lose, and the enemy can drive us off track, can divert us so easily away from the mission, which is the evangel, and also having an optimism. We're taught to pray, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I really feel that sometimes we hardly pray that. We think, okay, well, your will's going to be done in heaven. I know that. Yeah, heaven's going to be good. But we're taught to pray, your will be done on earth. Now that, you know, some might say, well, oh, that's a post-millennial position. I honestly really don't care what position it is in that sense, as long as we're praying it with a historic hopefulness that the kingdom of God would advance, that the church of Christ would advance, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So, you know, as I look back, as I read my forefathers, as I read what we would term heroes in the faith, biblical scholars, godly people, they had this hopefulness, and particularly the hopefulness pertaining to the Jewish people. And I want that reborn. I want that back on the radar of church life in the USA.
Well, that's a perfect place to make our break for our midway break that is longer than our normal breaks. Grace Life Radio 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida requires a 12-minute break between our two main segments of the show. So please be patient with us. Take advantage of this 12 minutes to not only write down information provided by our advertisers, that's very important, but also write down a question for Stephen Atkinson regarding Jewish mission. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. God willing, we'll be right back with Stephen Atkinson, the North American Director of Christian Witness to Israel, right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, here to tell you about an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World at no charge for 90 days and get a free copy of R.C. Sproul's book, Relationship Between Church and State. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes biweekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. Simply visit wmg.org/ironsharpens to get your world trial and Dr. Sproul's book all free. No obligation with no credit card required. Visit World News Group at wng.org/ironsharpens today.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chef Exclusive Catering is in South Central Pennsylvania. Chef Exclusive's goal is to provide a dining experience that is sure to please any palate. Chef Damian White of Chef Exclusive is a graduate of the renowned Johnson & Wales University with a degree in culinary arts and applied science. Chef Exclusive Catering's event center is newly designed with elegance and style and is available for small office gatherings, bridal showers, engagement parties, and rehearsal dinners. Critics and guests alike acknowledge Chef Exclusive's commitment to exceeding even the highest expectations. I know of their quality firsthand since Chef Exclusive catered my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon. For details, call 717-388-3000. That's 717-388-3000. Or visit chefexclusive.com. That's chefexclusive.com.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com.
Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And you can also call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number, 800-656-0231. 800-656-0231. They are typically manning those phone lines from 10 a.m. Eastern Time to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Please take advantage of their offer. If you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you purchase at least $50 worth of merchandise, you will get absolutely free of charge the book War Psalms of the Prince of Peace, the second edition by James E. Adams. This is a publication of P&R Publishing. You'll get that absolutely free of charge if you purchase $50 or more worth of merchandise and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It is a $14 value, and you'll get it free. So that's cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. And also, don't forget the toll-free number, 800-656-0231, if you prefer ordering by phone. 800-656-0231. If nobody answers when you call, just call the next day, because they only man those phone lines between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Also, there's just a couple of more things I need to announce before we return to Stephen Atkinson of Christian Witness to Israel, the North American division of that ministry. We want to announce to you that the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals is once again hosting the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, and it is not being held in Philadelphia. It's just affectionately called that in tribute to Dr. James Montgomery Boyce's conference that he held there for years at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. The conference these days is typically being held either in Byron Center, Michigan, or in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. April 13th through the 15th are the dates that it will be held at the First Christian Reformed Church of Byron Center, Michigan. And April 27th through the 30th, or actually April 27th through the 29th, is when it will be held at in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, at the Proclamation Presbyterian Church. That's the one that I intend to go to, God willing. And the theme is the Spirit of the Age and the Age of the Spirit. The speakers include Daniel Aiken, Richard Gaffin, Daniel Hyde, Conrad Mbewe, the most powerful preacher on the planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, Africa. Richard Phillips, another friend of mine who's been on this program many times. He is the pastor of Second Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Jonathan Master, who's also been on this program. David Murray, who's also been in this program over at the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids. And Scott Oliphant of Westminster Seminary, who I have not yet interviewed but hope to soon. If you would like to register for either the Byron Center Mission, Michigan location, or the Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania location, or both, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, click on events, and then click on Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Please tell the folks at the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals that you heard about these conferences from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Last but not least, it's that time that I hate to do. It is the time I have to rattle my tin cup and ask you for money, because the people who spend hard-earned money keeping this program on the air, my advertisers, have urged me to do this, and for years I did not, and I finally cracked, caved into their pressure, and now am begging you to help us remain on the air with any donation that you can afford. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and now you can very easily contribute to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with a credit or debit card. Just click on click to donate now. Click to donate now, and you can donate right away. You can also do it the old-fashioned way, because an address will pop up where you can mail a check made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never, ever, ever siphon money out of your regular giving to your local church. If you're not a member of a Bible-believing church, you must rectify that situation. If you're not prayerfully seeking for a Bible-believing church to join, you are living in disobedience to God. Please look for one today. Start making phone calls and find one near you that you can visit and then eventually join to be under the oversight of the elders there. But please never, ever siphon money out of your giving to that church. Also, never put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Providing for your family and providing for your church are commands of God. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please consider donating to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as you can and as often as you can. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click on support, and then click on click to donate now. And if you want to advertise with us, we could certainly use the advertising dollars. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with the theology we express here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you do need to be promoting something that is compatible with what we believe. Just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line, and we would love to launch an ad campaign with you to promote your church, your parachurch organization, your business, your professional practice, whether you're a lawyer, a doctor, a dentist, a chiropractor, your special event, whatever it is. We would love to help you launch an ad campaign if it's compatible with what we believe. And that's also the email address where you can send in questions to our guest, Stephen Atkinson, on the Jewish mission. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Stephen, now it's the time to enter into the historic, or continue into the historic hopefulness.
Well, there has been, again, from the first century, a desire to not only reach the Gentile world, but to reach the Jewish world, as the apostle was very intentional in going to every synagogue. There was a historic hopefulness from particularly the time of the Reformation. We would have to say and argue that we lost some of that throughout the years of increasing Romanism, and it was reclaimed at the Reformation. That historic hopefulness came back onto the agenda. And I, again, as we ended last segment, I want the church to have that optimism with regard to our God, with regard to his kingdom, and with regard to the advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. One of the things that when I engage in any ministry, as I over the years look back on where the Lord has placed me in pastoral ministry and now in this specialized ministry, I think it's important for us to know the field in which we are engaged, to know something of the context of which in which we are placed. I remember one of my very first churches was a little country church, and I'm a townie. I grew up in Bangor, Northern Ireland. I knew very little about what country life was like, but one of the first things that I did was to take a day with one of my elders down on his farm to find out what was the farming calendar, what was the normal thing that was done on a farm, because I needed to know what farmers do when I was going to minister to them. And I think in a similar way, if we are engaging in this with a biblical mandate, with the saints of old, with their historic hopefulness, we need to think, okay, what is the present situation of the Jewish community? Where have they come from? Where are they going? What are their desires? What is the context of the mission field? Whether it's for our missionaries as they engage Jewish community all around the world, or the churches that I visit and the church nationwide here, what is the context? And so that's why I've done a little bit of research in by several authors, Jewish and Christian, with regard to the history of the Jewish people in the USA. And I really find it fascinating to learn the providences of God bringing 42% of the world's Jewish population to these shores. And I think then, as we look at the providence, we've got to ask the question, well, why are they here? And what are we, the Gentile church, largely Gentile church, what are we to do with that strange and amazing providence? So I want us to investigate that, perhaps, and just think through, why are they here? Where have they come from?
Yeah, the percentages of Jewish people in the population of the United States, perhaps especially in New York, is astronomical. Mm.
Well, New York actually was where it all began. Or, more accurately, it was called New Amsterdam. Back in 1654, 23 Jewish souls arrived into the harbor at New Amsterdam. Four couples, two widows, 13 children, who had been expelled from Portuguese-owned Brazil, and they limped into harbor in New Amsterdam. New Amsterdam later became New York, and 23 became 2 million, as it is today.
Wow, I would not have guessed that the original immigrants, the original Jewish immigrants to New York would have been Brazilian. I would never have guessed that.
Well, again, we got to trace back the history a little bit more, and it is a fascinating one because, as I said, God is sovereign. God raises nations, God brings down nations, God raises kings, brings down kings, and they are here because he has purposed them to be here. And it, really, I can summarize it in two phrases, that they are here because of expulsion and expansion. In 1492, they were expelled from Spain, Portugal. They were expelled by King Ferdinand. And I've got a quote from the king here. It's the time of the Spanish Inquisition. It's horrendous. But the king wrote this: "The Holy Office of the Inquisition, seeing how some Christians are endangered by contact and communication with the Jews, has provided that the Jews be expelled from all our realms and territories." You know, this was before Hitler. This was the church. This was the Spanish Inquisition expelling the Jewish people in case good Catholics would be tainted by the Jewish people. A couple of months ago, I was privileged to be over in the UK at some CWI meetings. And at the end of my CWI meetings, I took a few days down to Spain, where my son lives. And I had a few days visiting with my son and daughter-in-law. It was a very precious time. But one of the days we took out to Cordoba. And Cordoba is the home of Maimonides, who is kind of the Jewish Calvin and their great philosopher. But also when I was there...
They were also known as the Calvin Kleins, I believe.
You had to lighten it, didn't you? I was being serious.
I'm sorry.
kidding. But when I was there, I didn't realize that the reason I wanted to go to Cordoba was to actually see a statue to Maimonides. But I discovered when I was there, there was a museum to the Inquisition. And we visited this museum, and it was horrendous to see the instruments of torture, the very creative instruments of torture that the Roman Church had devised to produce conversions from the Jewish people. The Jewish people really had three options in at this time of the Inquisition: convert, or be tortured, or be expelled, be tortured, and maybe even be killed. And so when we look at the fact that the 23 came into New Amsterdam, it was really out of an expulsion from Spain that they ended up in the New World. They ended up in Brazil, a small Jewish community in Brazil. But Brazil at that time was owned by the Dutch. And again, it's theology that drives missiology, because the Dutch were very kind towards the Jewish community. There was a healthy and growing Jewish community. But when Brazil was taken over by the Portuguese, then you had Romanism again. And so the Portuguese expelled the Jewish people from Brazil, and they were sent back to Amsterdam. That was the safe haven for them. Holland was a helpful place of home and haven for the Jewish people. However, one ship got stuck at Jamaica, and actually it was pirated. And the Spanish in Jamaica decided, we're going to seize the ship. Now, in those days of trading, the Dutch overlords and the Dutch financiers said, let my people go. And they made sure that the Spanish let the ship go. And the ship continued to limp along the coastline from Jamaica and come into harbor at New Amsterdam.
And if that did not happen, we would see Hasidics wearing dreadlocks.
There you go again. We see the 2 million because of a providence.
And praise
God.
I think
you know, this, again, I do want to we can laugh about it, but we also can be serious about it, because I've got to ask myself the question, why are they here in the United States? Why did they not go back to Holland? Because in the perfect providences of God, a ship of 23 limped into New Amsterdam, which later became New York. And the 23 became 2 million, or rather became 6 to 7 million that we have now in the United States.
Wow.
And we are in a situation where 42% of the world's Jewish population are here, because in the strange and perfect providences of God, they were expelled from Catholic Brazil. And they came into New Amsterdam and found a safe haven. Now, things were not all plain sailing, if you forgive the pun. Things were not all plain sailing, and there's another aspect to the history over the next, you know, few hundred years. But they are here because of the preserving purposes of God in that one ship that was kept along the coastline to limp into harbor. And I think that's a fascinating thing for us to think about. as we say, okay, well, we are here. I am here. I'm, you know, my great, 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 great grandfather was Scottish, but I'm not living in the United States. Why am I here? Because in the purposes of God, he has brought me here and brought me here to preach this burden. Why is the Christian church here? What is our mission? I think our mission is to glorify God, to enjoy him forever, and also to share this gospel message with a fallen and broken world. You know, Operation World, some of you will know the book Operation World, which kind of charts all of the mission progress and has done so very ably over the decades. It's not a perfect manual, but it's certainly a very helpful manual of mission statistics. And Operation World says that there are 92 million evangelicals in the U.S. Now, I'm inclined to think that that's maybe a little high.
Sounds high.
I knew you would say that. What number would you place it at?
I would say.
There you go.
Probably 5 million. No, let me rephrase.
Well, he said
that.
92.
You know the reason why I'm saying that is that I'm actually talking about regenerate people. It'd be hard for me to believe that there are 92 million regenerate people.
Yes, yes, and likewise. But if we cut that in half, or if we cut that even in a third, you're still talking about 30 million. And of varying shades, perhaps, but in the goodness and grace of God, there are tens of millions of true believers, I would believe.
And they all go to Joel Osteen's church.
You said you wanted me to talk about that, but I'm going to save that for another
yes,
time.
Yes, in fact, we are going to have Stephen Atkinson back to give a book report on Joel Osteen's book, Your Best Life Now, right? You read it from cover to cover, not because you enjoyed it, but you wanted to be able to speak with firsthand knowledge of the book.
Just as an aside, yes, you know, we talked about this just before we started the show, that I was actually given this book by a dear friend, and it was kind of given me as a joke. But I thought, okay, I'm going to read it. And so, yeah, I want to talk about it sometime. I think sometimes in our reform world, we throw rocks at those that we disagree with, but we really haven't read their stuff. And it's important for us to do that so that we can engage intelligently.
Well, it's important for some of us to do that. I think that it's dangerous for young, naive Christians to do that.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. To do it with the right motives. And so that when I said that I had read the 300 pages, you immediately jumped in that and said, oh, I've got to have you back and we'll do a book review. And so I thought maybe we could do it for about 10 minutes sometime. Right. I really don't want to talk about Joel Osteen for 2 hours. I'm sorry. We can get on to other things.
That actually, you know, almost had Iron Sharpens Iron Radio removed from the airwaves on the old radio show, or the old radio station that we were on in New York. We were almost permanently removed because of the fact when I was at my brother's wedding reception, I had a friend fill in for me, and he said, what do I talk about? And I said, do a critical assessment of Joel Osteen's church and Joel Osteen's theology and so on, since he's the pastor of the largest church in America, at least at that time that was true. And when I came back, I was almost booted off the air because of that. The general manager said that Joel Osteen was her favorite evangelist of all. But anyway, that I digress. Let's get back to the...
We digress. Well, back to, you know, why are they here? I think, as I said, when I started in ministry, I needed to know context. So I needed to know what's farming life so that I can engage with my farming community. So also here, my Christian friends, if I can make an appeal through your radio to the church nationwide, let us get to have a better understanding of our Jewish neighbors, where they're living. Yes, 2 million in New York City, 600,000 in Miami, 300,000 in Chicago, 500,000 in LA, 200,000 in Atlanta, 80,000 in Cleveland, 10,000 in Kansas City. You name every major city in the U.S., and there is a sizable Jewish population. And so my question is, church, what are you doing?
Even major cities in the South?
In the Deep South?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, I preach quite often in Mississippi and Mississippi Delta. Now, some of them have removed from there to other places, but every major city has a Jewish population. They're very urbanite. They have increasingly become more urbanized. And this is, again, something that we need to have an understanding of, because when they came, the first wave was the Sephardic Jews, the Spanish Jews. Then there was the Germanic or the German Jews, and then the Ashkenazis and the Eastern European, think Fiddler on the Roof. And it's, again, it's the providences of God in bringing the natural branches to our shores. And we've got to engage with that mission field, and we've got to know what floats their boat, as they say here. What is it that makes them tick? What are they searching for? You know, Bono had that song, you know, "I still haven't found what I'm looking for." I think that really summarizes Jewish life in the USA. They came with great hopes and great desires, and they engaged in education, they engaged in assimilation, they engaged in all kinds of creativity, but they still haven't found what they're looking for. And this is really my burden, that the church will say, well, here it is. Here's what you're looking for, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. Well, we're going to go to our final break right now. This is going to be much shorter than the last one. If you'd like to join us on the air, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors, and we'll have more of Stephen Atkinson and Jewish Mission right after these words.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, inviting you to tune in to A Visit to the Pastor's Study every Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on WLIE Radio, www.wlie540am.com. We bring biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you, and we invite you to visit the pastor's study by calling in with your questions. Our time will be lively, useful, and I assure you, never dull. Join us this Saturday at 12 noon Eastern Time for a visit to the pastor's study, because everyone needs a pastor.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And welcome back. We are now continuing our discussion with Stephen Atkinson, North American Director for Christian Witness to Israel, also known as CWI. We have been discussing and will continue to discuss Jewish mission, the biblical mandate, the historic hopefulness, and the providential provision. If you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. RJ in White Plains, New York wants to know, whatever happened to the Brazilian Jews that immigrated to the United States? I have never heard of a community of Jews from a Latin country in our day and age.
I actually met a Jewish believer in San Antonio who was from Latin America. So there's obviously some continuity there. But
is it a tiny remnant?
Tiny remnant. In answer to the question, the Brazilian Jews were all kicked out. They were all expelled.
Of the United States?
Sorry, of Brazil.
Right, right.
No.
Well, he was speaking, I think, of the United States.
Of the United States. Well, again, over the years, there would be the assimilation, I'm sure. There is a Cuban synagogue in Miami, and I'm sure there may be others. I haven't done enough research to find out if there is a Brazilian Jewish community in the U.S., but it wouldn't surprise me. I think over the years, that Brazilian community that entered into New Amsterdam would simply become North American rather than Brazilian. Though, please, if any listener has any further information on that, let me know.
Yeah, because it seems like the Eastern European Jews have been more tenacious about remaining in their community and keeping their traditions going and so on.
Yeah,
I think perhaps even the German.
That's really interesting as well, just to see that, because the German Jews very much love Germany. In fact, one of the reasons that so many perished was that they could not believe that this was happening, could not believe that Germany would turn against them, because they loved Germany, they loved German culture. And so the German wave, as they came to the United States, the German Jews became American, and they loved the country. The Eastern European, the Russian Jewish people tended not to love Mother Russia. Now, these are sweeping statements, so I'm sure people could you know, challenge the things I'm saying. But the Russian Jews largely did not get a good good dealings with the Russian Orthodox Church, for example. And so the pogroms, think Fiddler on the Roof, they were being kicked out of Russia. And they really didn't enjoy much of the liberties in Russia. When they came to the U.S., they still tended to have that suspicion. And so what you rightly say, they keep to their own enclave. And so we find that the German Jews largely have enjoyed life in America. The Russian Jews perhaps have kept a little bit more to themselves. Again, you know, people could very easily criticize what I'm just saying, but that is the impression from what I've been reading, at least in the wave after wave, the Sephardic, the Germanic, the Ashkenazi, as they settled here in the U.S.
Well, where would you like to take us now in our journey here? We've come to the point of the providential provision that we were already addressing before the break.
I think what I want us to see is if we can really bring it right up to the present, and where we ended just at the last segment was they still haven't found what they're looking for. Jewish culture has infiltrated so much of American life, particularly in terms of medicine, the legal profession, the arts. You know, think Broadway or think the movies, and you have Jewish Hollywood pouring out movie after movie after movie of superheroes. And it just strikes me that isn't that just the inner longing for someone to save the world? You know, the Superman or the Wonder Woman or the person who's going to come and bring peace on earth from Jewish Hollywood. And to me, that's none other than the desire for the Messiah. But they put it in their terms. And so my you know, as we kind of come towards the end of our time, I want the church to just see that, to see the context, whether it's the Germanic or Ashkenazi or Sephardic, they haven't found what they're looking for, and we need to bring that message to them.
And obviously, this is a very sensitive area when you are evangelizing your Jewish friends, neighbors, family members, colleagues, because unfortunately the way that the left has really brainwashed all of us here in America and perhaps all over the world for that matter, it's in some level. Because you even have Christians who are terrified over evangelizing Jewish people because this has been made equivalent to anti-Semitism. And the irony is, obviously, if you are a Christian and you believe in the claims of Jesus Christ, if you believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, if you believe that salvation can only come through Christ, it is really anti-Semitic not to evangelize the Jews.
That's it, exactly. And that's where I want to really round everything out, to get us back to the biblical mandate again. And the biblical mandate, however offensive it may be, there is an offense of the cross, but it is the saving a soul from a burning building. It's that kind of mentality that we need to bring back to our church life. Do we believe in heaven and hell anymore? Or has John Hagee, so confused us that we don't need to do any Jewish evangelism?
And the Roman Catholic Church has that position in their modern catechism that the Jews worship the same God as we do. And I have even heard, and I'm not saying that this is an official dogmatically held position that is universal amongst Catholics, but I have heard on EWTN, which is a major Catholic television network, I've heard priests say that we do not need to evangelize our Jewish friends and neighbors because they are also children of God. And I was really disturbed by hearing that.
Well, you take that to the Apostle Paul when he would go into every synagogue under heaven and tell them about Jesus. So why did he do that? You know, and he's the Jewish guy. So why did he go and tell everyone about Jesus? We need to have that intentionality. And in fact, I think in our Reformed world, we need to bring that evangelistic edge back to our church life.
Yeah, Jesus, when Nicodemus came to him by night, he didn't say to Nicodemus, "You're good the way you are, don't worry about it."
Well, it's really interesting, you know, how he challenged Nicodemus. Because he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus was, you know, "What is this stuff? What is this born again?" And the words of Jesus were, "Nicodemus, you are Israel's teacher. And you don't know this? You don't know this stuff? Have you never read Jeremiah 31, Nicodemus? Never read that there's a new covenant with the house of Israel? Nicodemus, have you never read that the law is going to be put into your heart? Nicodemus, have you never read Ezekiel 36, that I'm going to be sprinkling you, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit and put within you, and move you to follow my laws? Nicodemus, did you not know that there's a new birth?" You see, the born-again thing is something that we Gentiles have kind of hijacked, when really it's a very Jewish thing, because it's there. And that's why Jesus challenged Israel's teacher, because he didn't know those things. But, you know, my desire is that we in the church will see that and see the world as in need, and particularly see the Jewish world as the Lord has providentially placed on our shores this 42% of Israel. If we want to bless Israel, well, let's start here. Now, if I can make a plug even and even a prayer request to your listeners, please, may the church be intentional, but please may God raise up frontline missionaries for us. We're currently, we have a visa in process for a brother to come to Chicago, and we're hoping before the end of this year that he will be with us and we'll be engaging in the streets of Chicago. We have another couple of folks that are interested in becoming missionaries, and this is at an early stage. I want to raise up another missionary and another missionary and another missionary, and please God, may there be the support for that as well. And again, in the providence of God, who was it? Some famous missionary said, "God's work done in God's way will never lack God's resources."
Amen.
And I think that's the way I look at it as I go forward. If we are doing God's work in God's way, the Lord's people will get behind and will support us. And so I make that appeal to your listeners, that you will get behind us in prayer and pray for more missionaries, pray for more workers to the harvest field. I could tell you about my colleagues that I love. I met many of them in January in the UK. We were celebrating our 175th anniversary, and it was such a delight to meet my brother who's on the streets of Paris. France is has the third largest Jewish population after Israel and America.
Wow.
France has 500,000 Jewish people, and half of them are living in Paris. And actually, if I can put a plug in for our outreach this summer in Paris, we are going to be on the streets of Paris for a couple of weeks, intentionally speaking to anyone, indeed, but particularly the Jewish people. There are a lot of Israeli tourists that will come to Paris year on year, and we'll be engaging them. And you can find details about that on our website, particularly our UK website. If I can give the www.cwi.org.uk, and you will find details with regard to our summer outreach in Paris. Perhaps some of your listeners would not only pray, but maybe even support in some way, or even think about going.
Yeah, we might even have listeners in Paris or in France.
Exactly. And they could come and join us.
We have listeners all over the world, so it would not surprise me. In fact, very recently, a listener in Perth, Australia, heard me mention that there is a new Reformed Baptist Church plant in Perth, and he contacted me, said that he and his wife had been praying for a confessionally Reformed church to go to, and they visited there last Sunday, and they have already made the commitment to make that their church home. Wow. So you never know who's listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Yep, you never know who's listening. But please, God, raise up the workers. We have other workers in Amsterdam. I met my colleague Asaf from Amsterdam just last January. And what a lovely brother, and the ministry that he has to the Jewish community in Amsterdam. Last year, we were on the streets of Amsterdam. And we actually did a mail shot at every Jewish home in Amsterdam. We put evangelistic literature in the mailboxes of every Jewish home of Amsterdam last Wow. summer. We are not going to be able to do the same in Paris, I'm told, from my Paris colleague. Again, there's context to our ministry. So we might have to look at some other options for the way in which we reach our Jewish neighbors there.
Now, when you're doing this street evangelism in these foreign countries, is English so prevalent that you don't need an interpreter, let's say, in Paris, or do you have a Parisian interpreter?
Well, our guy in Paris certainly, obviously, will speak French. And those who can speak French and would like to join us, we'd love to have them. But there will be certain, we actually were guided, there are certain areas that we'll be going to that will be more English-speaking than French-speaking. And so some who are able to speak French, we will maybe send them to certain areas of Paris, whereas other areas such as, you know, the Eiffel Tower, we will have our English speakers there. Because, as I said, many Israelis will come over, and many of them will speak English as well, although we'll have some modern Hebrew speakers available to that. So we're just asking for prayer for that very specific outreach in the streets of Europe this coming summer. Also, we have our workers, obviously, in London, 200,000 Jewish people in London. And so we would pray for their ministry. We're in the north of England, in Leeds, in the north of England. We're in Glasgow. A long-term dear friend and missionary from Taiwan is in Glasgow. And then we have our workers in Israel. And again, I met my three colleagues from Israel last January in the UK, and I was just so thrilled that the Lord had raised up these workers. If I can just tell the story of these three in particular, we have David Zadok, who has been with CWI since 2005. And David is a Jewish believer from way, way back, and he is the pastor of Grace and Truth Congregation just outside Tel Aviv in Rishon. In Israel, and he also heads up our translation work. And we've been translating into modern Hebrew a lot of really good literature, good Reformed literature. One of our most recent translation projects was Ligon Duncan's book on Fear Not. And we've been giving some of these literature to Jewish believers in the Israeli army, Spurgeon's checkbook. We gave copies of that. Translated into modern Hebrew, we gave a copy to every Jewish believer that's in the Israeli military.
Wow.
And so,
just the ones that are already Christians?
Yes, but that's to build up the believers.
Right,
but also we're producing evangelistic literature for them as well. So the Hageffen Publishing, if you want to Google that and go to Hageffen Publishing, you will find, again, the good literature that we're producing. Classics, Calvin, Bunyan, but also the modern stuff, Sinclair Ferguson, and as I said, Ligon Duncan, and several others that have escaped my mind at the moment. A really good resource of translating into modern Hebrew to help the Jewish believing community in Israel. The number of Jewish believers in Israel has grown to 30,000 in the last, you know, from 1948, there were 12. And now there's 30,000 Jewish believers in the land of Israel.
Wow.
So we, as Christian Witness to Israel, are assisting our brothers and sisters in that land. And even if I can put in a little plug for CWI North America, last year, because of God's blessing of us, we were able to give $10,000 from our funds to help the work in Israel, to CWI Israel.
Praise God.
So, you know, as the resources, as the Lord's people are responding, we are able to help in the ministry of CWI, not only in the U.S., but also around the world. But I know our time is running out, but I just want to...
Well, we have about 10 minutes.
We've got about 10 minutes. Okay, let me take you to the two other guys. We have Igal, who is on the streets. And when I say he's on the streets, I mean that very much so that he's on the streets. Igal was saved from heroin addiction. Igal had spent 8 years in Israeli prisons because of crimes associated with his addiction. But the Lord gloriously saved him. And Igal has been engaging with the street community, let's say. He has been engaging with people who are in addictions. And he is showing them the one thing that frees them from that addiction. Yigal is an Ashkenazi, Russian-speaking, but he's now living in Israel. And he is just a gentle giant. I met him, as I said, in January, and what a wonderful work of grace in his life. And indeed, the joys and successes, God willing and God graced, that we are seeing from Egal's very intentional ministry to tell his other buddies who are suffering these additions, to tell them about Jesus and show them the victory that they can have in Christ. And so I'd ask you to pray for Egal and his work on the streets. And then the third person that I met, and again, my heart warmed to see just this ministry to Israel, was Aviel. Aviel particularly has a ministry to the Holocaust survivors.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the things...
I would love to have him on the program some point soon.
I'm sure we could arrange that. I'm sure we could arrange with some of these folks who would be very willing to come and tell you their story and tell you it far better than I'm telling it. But Aviel he spoke to us in Oxford in January at our 175th anniversary celebrations. And I have to say, of all the things that we did that day, his message, and actually his English is not as good as some of our other colleagues, but he's improving. But the manner of his message really affected me. And he said, you know, the Holocaust survivors are dying. The Holocaust survivors, their numbers are decreasing month by month. And they survived the fires of Auschwitz to come and live in Israel. And they're dying and they're going to another fire. And he, again, you know, stressed this point that their numbers are decreasing and specifically their time is running out. And I think, again, if I can ask your listeners to pray very specifically for our ministry to the Holocaust survivors. If you would like to go online and find our magazine online, or even just email me, and I'd be very happy to send you a copy. Our most recent magazine, February 2018, has just a little article of an outreach that we did to the Holocaust survivors. And if I can simply read this just for a couple of minutes, it just gives the picture. We had an outreach at Hanukkah last December in David Zadok's congregation, in Grace and Truth congregation. And so I'll just read from our magazine. "It was the most fantastic Hanukkah I ever celebrated," said Joseph Steinberg, "when the outreach to 112 Holocaust survivors finished in Gedara, Israel. The December CWI Hanukkah outreach events was hosted by David Zadok and his congregation, Grace and Truth. We were also joined by 75 Chinese Christians who had traveled to Israel to share the love of Jesus with the survivors. The event included songs sung by the Chinese to the Holocaust survivors, the gospel being preached by David, and a Christian leader from the Far East who told the participants, 'We love you and want you to know that Messiah has come to give you eternal life, and his name is Jesus. Trust in him as the only one who can deliver you from darkness.' The Hanukkah event included the traditional distribution of presents. The Chinese Christians provided a bag of presents for each survivor who attended, which included a teapot and tea, obviously from China, as well as Hagefen-published evangelistic leaflets and books, which included one explaining how Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Joseph says of the outreach, in Romans 10:19, Paul writes, 'I will make you envious by those who are not a nation.' We saw that enviable love demonstrated as tears flowed from the joyful Jewish faces of those who had suffered much hate. What a wonderful change in context into which to preach the gospel. Our hearts were deeply moved, and pray that the gospel at these Holocaust survivors heard and the very evident love that they saw will make an eternal impact on their souls."
Praise God. Praise God. I think we have time for one more question. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, why is it that when a Jew becomes a Christian, it is far more of a horrific thing in the minds of Jews than if he were to become an atheist or a Buddhist or a Hindu or a New Age practitioner. Anything else seems to be acceptable except Christianity. Why is this?
There are a number of reasons, but that he is absolutely right, that it is the worst thing, we might say, for Jewish families. They feel betrayed. They feel their whole family heritage has been lost and the person has gone to the dark side. And it probably is because of the church history, because the Gentile church, as they see it, the Gentile church has so persecuted Jewish people throughout history. They've been called the Christ killers. There has been anti-Semitism from the church fathers and others.
Even in the mind of a modern day, 21st century, even a millennial Jew?
Well, some of them were very liberal, won't mind that so much. But still, it's a slur on the family name for them to become a Christian. Because I think we need to get it into our mindset that Christianity in our view is something that is believed upon. There is an intellectual assent as well as a heart trust. For Jewish people, belief doesn't matter quite so much as belonging. So belonging to the Jewish community and belonging to the synagogue is the most important thing. And for someone to come to faith in Jesus, then you're going outside, and that's the betrayal.
The irony is that even with religious Jews, it seems to be such a betrayal, and yet Christians would have far more in common with them. I guess the difference would be is that the Christian would be more aggressively attempting to evangelize them. But, I mean, we share the Hebrew Scriptures and so on. We share the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as far as our beliefs. I mean, I'm not saying that Jews who do not worship a Trinitarian God are correct in their worship. But what I mean is we believe that the prophets and the teachings of the God-breathed scriptures of the Old Covenant are true.
Yes, and we believe that they came for us. They did not leave us alone as we began. And our desire is to say this is the fulfillment of your scriptures. But their deepest fear is to lose their Jewish identity. And they would say that Christians who win a Jewish person to the Lord, to Jesus, to the Messiah, to Christ, such people are doing worse than Hitler. Because they would say, Hitler killed our bodies, but you Christians, if you get your way, you kill our very souls.
Wow. I'm assuming you must mean the real Orthodox or even ultra-Orthodox would have that.
I would venture to suggest it's more than just the ultra-Orthodox
really?
That are saying that. Yes, there are many, many Jewish families who just completely turn their backs and disinherit those that come
yes.
to Jesus.
Well, actually, I know a friend of mine that I haven't spoken to in quite a while, but he brought up in a Jewish home ethnically, not religious. They didn't keep a kosher home. They only, in a nominal way, celebrated things like Passover and Hanukkah. When he was a male stripper, his Jewish family had no problem with it. When he became a Christian, his family sat Shiva for him, disowned him, and his mother even physically attacked his Gentile wife, his Gentile Christian wife, at a funeral. And had to be physically pried off of her. And these were not even religious Jews, so it's quite remarkable.
Yeah. When you said Sat Shiva, you mean, obviously, they were considered dead.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And they did that even though they weren't religious. You know, they yes. didn't even keep the kosher home, and yet they Sat Shiva. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of your contact information. I know that the Christian Witness to Israel's North American division is found at CWINA.org, mm-hmm. CWINA.org, standing for Christian Witness to Israel North America. Any other contact information you care to give?
Well, we have also the UK website, and that's particularly if you're interested in the European outreach in Paris, and that's CWI.org.uk.
cwi.org.uk. And you are available for speaking engagements for churches and parachurch organizations and schools and
Amen.
All kinds of things.
And my wife is the long-suffering wife who lets me do some of these tours, and I am very much available to speak in various churches and just stir this burden. I'm currently on the road. I live in Northwest Arkansas, but by this weekend, I'm going to be preaching and in Concord, Massachusetts, and Springfield, Massachusetts. So you can imagine the miles that are involved in traveling those distances.
Well, I am going to make sure that I tell my friends in Massachusetts that you will be there shortly, and hopefully you'll get some more speaking engagements out of it. I want to thank you so much, Stephen. I'm looking forward to now joining my friend Simon O'Many, our new assistant pastor at the Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle. I'm joining him for dinner tonight with you. And I thank all of you who listened, especially those who wrote in questions today. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.